Blog Talk Radio.
The Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLO.
Well, it's official. I guess my DJ days are back. I've officially remixed the opening without trying to officially remix the opening. I love technology. Sometimes it has a mind of its own. This is Friday. This is the Cave Show. Welcome one, welcome all. This is PLR. Hopefully, you're ready for the weekend. I don't know what we're going to talk about today. There's not much going on in the world of sports. I mean, there's just the NFL draft, and Gettleman doesn't know what he's doing, and John Gruden knows what he's doing but doesn't know what he's doing. I guess he's the guy that you spend $10 for chapstick on. Explain that in a little bit. Warriors try to shut the Clippers out tonight. Denver got a dose of what it's like to try to put the old man out of work. That didn't go too well for them. We're going to talk a little baseball today as well. About another 10 minutes, we have the one, the only Tony Capobianco, the Cuban Cowboy, hanging with us. Can't wait for that. Big shout out, thanks to our sponsor, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, which brings you this show each and every day. Located at 4991 South Alma School. That's Alma School in Channel Heights in the chat area. Get down to whatever PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. You can also become a club member. Get a locker that backs up to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco is also now serving beer and wine. So as you're sitting down, having a cigar, you can have an adult beverage. Watch one of the many televisions. They're showing the draft today. They're showing the draft all weekend. Make sure you're down there. We were there yesterday for the watch party. So get down there today. Again, let them know PLR sent you. They'll take 10% off of your cigar purchase. There are some restrictions, so check when you get there. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Well, the Cardinals did it. They did it. They pulled the strings. Kyler Murray is officially a Cardinal. He had his introductory press conference about 45 minutes ago. Just like some of the stuff he said. To be honest with you, it doesn't seem like he's a real talkative guy. per se, but I kind of like what he, you know, what he said. He said this is where he wanted to be. He was asked about baseball and his decision making and choosing football over baseball, and he plain and simply said this is where I wanted to be, and now I'm here. Someone talked about his him being elusive and dodging and, you know, avoiding getting hit. And I like, very simple answer. I don't think anybody likes getting hit. And, you know, he talked other questions about his relationship with Cliff Kingsbury, the Cardinals coach. And they talked about things like, you know, his relationship going back to when he was 15, when he was first recruited by him. He talked about how he's looking forward to playing with Larry Fitzgerald and reuniting with Cameron Kirk and all the little things that make this guy special. And the one thing I want to get out there, and again, if you want to call in, you can. Number is 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. That is the Kerry Lackey Law Line if you want to chime in. But the one thing that I like the most, I think, is that, or that I want to explain to you more than anything, is the fact that the fan loses sight of the big picture of everything. And by that I mean, and this is no disrespect to Josh Rosen, who I think is going to have a good career somewhere. I definitely don't think he's a bad quarterback. But people like things that are electric. And Kyler Murray is electric. Baker Mayfield is electric. When Baker Mayfield was drafted by the Cleveland Browns, you knew there was just something different about Baker Mayfield. When Tyrod Taylor was there, we saw Tyrod Taylor successfully lead the Buffalo Bills in the previous year to a playoff. And Tyrod is going to be safe. He's going to be everything Alex Smith is. He's going to be safe. He's not going to do dumb things. He's going to not turn the ball over. He's not going to put you in a position to lose. But if he's down, he may not be the guy that brings you back for a win. Safe. And I'm not saying Josh Rosen is necessarily that guy, because in fairness to him, we don't have a fair sample size to know exactly what Josh Rosen can do. But what we do know is that he's not electric. When Josh Rosen was drafted by the Cardinals, there wasn't a run on Josh Rosen jerseys. There wasn't a scramble to get Josh Rosen pulled in every direction. There's a scramble to get Kyler Murray pulled in every direction. There's a scramble tomorrow. I bet the second that jersey goes on sale, everyone's going to want a Kyler Murray jersey. And what people don't realize is he doesn't have to be better than Josh Rosen for this to be a home run. He has to be as good as Josh Rosen for this to be a home run. If Josh Rosen goes off somewhere and he has a really stellar career, as long as Kyler Murray's career matches that one, the Cardinals win because they're going to win any other game. See, football, unlike basketball or baseball, they don't have to worry about sellouts because for the most part, stadiums sell out. Unless you're just really sucky bad, you're going to sell out. But you know what Kyler Murray does? He ensures there aren't empty seats. There aren't people saying, nah, not this week. Those people are going to be there. That allows you to have $8 hot dogs go to 10. $5 popcorn goes to 7. $12 beers now go to 15. Mm-hmm. Because that's exactly what an electric personality does. And that's the difference. And that's what I don't think people really look at. Look, Zion Williamson is going to go number one in the NBA draft. Now, there are people that say Cam Reddish may have a better career. Ja Morant may have a better NBA career. But the second Zion Williams is drafted. The second Zion is drafted, the second his jersey goes on sale, people are going to go buy it. The second his new shoes come out, people are going to go buy them. People like electric and personality and the makeup of all of that culminates in what we call the it factor or the wow factor. And in fairness, Kyler is that and Josh isn't. And like I said, it doesn't mean that he has to be better than Josh. He just can't be worse than Josh. He has to match Josh. And they're in the trajectory of their career. But I would have went with this pick. I really would have. You know, I think it's funny. When you see Khalil Mack and he goes and everyone says, you know, how did the Raiders trade this guy? And then you have other people say, well, there's a ton of edge rushers out there. Get the picks. There's a ton of edge rushers. And now the Cardinals have an opportunity to draft an edge rusher, one overall. Everyone's like, how do you pass on the edge rusher? If I'm John Gruden, I'm sitting there saying, how can you have it both ways? We're going to get into his craziness a little bit later as well. But right now, I want to put my main man on. He's on the line. He's on the Kerry Lackey Law line. Right now, you know, I mean, he's been with us. And now he's a Fertile journalist who covers the Miami Marlins for Five Reasons Sports. My main man, the one, the only, Tony Capobianco. You affectionately know him as the Cuban Cowboy. Tony, what's good, my man?
It's been so long.
I know. What's happening? How's Miami?
Well, right now it's cloudy. So this is usually a good time to be on the road, whether you're the team or anybody else.
It's 101 degrees. I'll take the clouds.
Oh, I imagine. There's a huge difference between humidity and dry heat. It doesn't smell like a brick oven over here.
Yeah, I'll take the clouds. This 101 degree heat, and we're just in April. Yeah, I'll pass.
This is like, would you prefer original or extra crispy? That's kind of like the difference between humidity and dry heat.
Exactly. So, I've got to ask you this. So the Marlins do what the Marlins do. They get good, then they tear it up, then they get good, then they tear it up, then they get good, and they tear it up. And they sell the team finally. They get Jeter in there. Last year he had a yard sale, got rid of everything. This summer, gets rid of another talented guy, and they redecorate the park and change the park. I'm thinking that people are going to come to the park because of the way the park looks. And we know the only parks people go to are Wrigley, Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park, and Dodger Stadium to see stadiums. Everywhere else they go to watch baseball. And now the Marlins are really bad again. What is their plan? What is Jeter doing?
Well, start off with a little correction. They get good, trade everybody. Wait 2 years after they get good, then trade half, and the rest go to free agency. Then think they're going to get good, get terrible, then trade everyone prematurely. Then get good, have the best pitcher die, win 80 games, and then trade the only five good players they got. And that's where we are now. The main thing about this rebuild strategy is to build a pipeline of promising pitching prospects, similar to what the Tampa Bay Rays have done. There's a reason why they have gone from Scott Kazmir to David Price, from David Price to Chris Archer, from Chris Archer to Blake Snell, and still be competitive throughout the decade. There's a lot of good pitching prospects in the minor league system, and you're seeing some of that right now in the major league system. They got four really good starting pitchers and a solid yet inconsistent one, Jose Urania. They managed to find a diamond in the rough in the bullpen. Nick Anderson, who's got more strikeouts than half the starting pitchers, and he barely has like 10 innings in his career. The problem with this team right now is they can't hit. Their best player is going to get traded in July. Actually, the real best player is the guy they traded JT Realmuto for in Jorge Alfaro. But everyone else is either, you got maybe one guy who's a starter everywhere else, you got a bunch of young guys that might be, people might take a chance on as other teams, and the rest are backups. But they've been a lot better since they fired their hitting coach recently, and they split the series with Cleveland. They're positioned to win the series at Philadelphia. They won the first series against Washington before that. So it's not as terrible as the first few weeks, but a ways to go.
It seems to me, and maybe it's just me, but it sounds like you're being very generous, and I can appreciate that, but they are a minus 47 in run differential. And I understand what you're saying, they're not hitting well, and that's obvious considering they've scored the fewest
generous.
Amount of runs.
Not hitting well is generous. They are pathetic.
They've scored the fewest runs in Major League Baseball with 68 runs. And doing my quick math, that's less than 3 runs a game. That's more like 2.5 runs a game. Tony, here's my question. And I'm not asking you just as a Marlins guy. I'm asking when you watch the Marlins, when you watch the Reds, when you watch Tampa, who you said is competitive again, when you watch these teams, at what point does competitive fly out the window and you have to just start saying, when are we going to win consistently? Competitive is cute. Competitive means we were in that battle for the playoffs and we just missed out. Doesn't that start to get old after a while, just being competitive?
Oh, I imagine. But I also think that's something that diehard fans would take at this point because they barely were competitive since 2009. I think the trajectory for this team has been maybe as early as 2021. Like this year, you're going to see half the lineup is most likely going to get traded in July. Like Starlin Castro is probably going to get traded and to get more assets and make way for Eason Diaz, who was part of the Chris Yelich trade. He's their second baseman in the future. At some point in August, you might see Monte Harrison, also part of the Chris Yelich trade, who looks like the closest thing that they have to Giancarlo Stanton. A really big power bat, very athletic. Looks like he kind of looks like he could be a wide receiver or a linebacker in the NFL, but instead he's batting leadoff with Pop in New Orleans. There's a bunch of, there really isn't much after that as far as, the minor league system goes. Like, as good as their pitching is in the system, they're very shallow in hitting from top to bottom. Eventually, it's going to be addressed in the draft. Most likely, they'll probably get a bunch of college bats starting this June. But I think what's going to happen is once the pitching is established, which so far is looking that way, then they're going to spend their money on free agent hitting. And that's when I think things start to come together. If not as always, 2021, I think it's the target date.
So if they had an Onikari Lackey law line right now, the one only Cuban Cowboy, Tony Capobianco, here with us representing 5 Reason Sports. So when did the ticket prices go on sale? I mean, not on sale for purchase. I mean, like half off, like 60% off. If you know that you're going to do that.
I mean, $10 gets you in the ballpark. Yeah, they took out that home run sculpture and replaced it with like a nice standing room section. $10 gets you in. And $5 gets you beer. And $5 gets you 2 pork mojo tacos. Like, at least you're not going to die from concession food, unlike in Chase Field. Chase Field makes the Heart Attack Grill look like the Trader Joe's. There's your ballpark enhancements. You can get in for cheap and eat good food and not die from congestive heart failure.
I hear you. I hear you, man. That's funny. Because they do come out with something every year here at the ballpark. And it's always something crazy, like a triple 3 foot long hot dog wrapped in bacon, fried in like pig fat.
Derek Hall
for 7 hours.
Kill you. It's been a long time since I've been in the press box there, but until that food ends up in the press room, that's when you have to worry about your coverage, because everyone there is going to look like that Chicago sketch in Saturday Night Live where everyone's like having like 15 heart attacks per segment.
Yeah, man, they feed you. And you know what's crazy? They give you all that food and you get lulled to sleep because the roof is closed and it's all nice and cool in there and you're comfortable, and they completely forget that in an hour you got to walk outside to 115 degree heat now that you've downed a triple hot dog wrapped in bacon fried in pig grease with 8 toppings on it, ice cream for dessert.
You get that brisket that tastes like rubber the more you eat it.
Yeah, so I hear you. So what you're basically telling me, though, is there's hope for the Marlins.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, like, really good prospects right now. And, like, for example, if you're building a team right now and you think, hey, we got some depth that's coming up pretty soon, you expect to see that in AA and AAA and then have no idea what's going on in the other levels. I was just in Jupiter, which is where their advanced high A affiliate is. And all 5 of their starting pitchers are among the top 30 prospects. 2 of them were first-round picks. Another 2, one of them was like the top A prospect, just like shut down the Cardinals lineup. And they send dudes in the major leagues every 2 years. Like, there's consistency throughout the pitching. They have no hitting, but I think it's easier to, in free agency, to pick up bats than it is to pick up arms. There's less risk when you get free agent hitting than it is to make a commitment on free agent pitching. So I think right now there's the starting pitching they have right now is pretty good, is getting better. The hitting's going to hold them back, but eventually, once this starts to kick up, if they keep the strategy going, it'll be a long time before it stops.
Online with me right now on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, Tony Capobianco, Cuban Cowboy, photojournalist covering the Miami Marlins for 5 Reasons Sports. I want to ask you a couple other quick questions that have nothing to do with baseball whatsoever. Real quick,
shoot.
What are the Dolphins going to do? Rumor has it that Rosen may be headed that way. Josh Rosen, the Cardinals quarterback. What exactly are the Dolphins doing?
Well, right now they're winning the draft by picking the one giant dude who could do the splits. I think that's a winner in my book. I think what the Rosen trade is, no one thought this was supposed to be a really good draft class. Like, the first quarterback taken was assured because the guy who said that he would take him with the first overall pick if he got didn't got the first overall pick, it took him. Like, we knew that was going to happen. It was also Heisman Trophy quarterback. Hype be damned. But the next guy was a dude from Duke. Everyone, the reaction I saw from New York was the same reaction I saw from Philly when they picked Donovan McNabb. It was hilarious. But for the most part, mm-hmm. I guess the main question is, the quarterback you want to draft is in next year's draft. But if there's a guy that's available that was a top 10 draft pick last year, and if you feel he's better than whoever's available now, and you have to get at least a quarterback to compete with Ryan Fitzpatrick or to learn from Ryan Fitzpatrick, for better or worse, and if you think Rosen is better than, say, Drew Lock, then make the trade. The consensus in Miami was, a third-round pick, I think, is worth it. A second-round pick might be a little too much unless there's a pick coming back. But
yeah,
I'll take. I mean, y'all don't want him. I'll take him off your hands. I could use a little Josh Rosen in my weak days.
The one thing, Tony, and I want to add this before you know, before we switch, or you got to get out of here. The one thing regular fans don't understand, and I was saying this just before you called in, is there's more to it than just drafting talent. And by that I mean Josh Rosen. We know Josh Rosen can play. There's no doubt that Josh Rosen can play. But if Kyler Murray, if you watch their career, is just as good as Rosen or better than Rosen, then the Cardinals will win. And I mean in the draft win, not in the overall wins of losses and wins, because when Josh Rosen was selected number 10, people were like, oh, okay, hopefully he's not fragile. Kyler Murray, the Cardinal shop already know that they don't have enough jerseys to sell already. So they're going to print those bad boys. NFL, you don't really worry about sellouts because, you know, for the most part, they sell out. You just get no-shows. For the first games of Kyler Murray's career, there will be no no-shows, which means those $8 hot dogs can go to $9. Those $12 beers can go to $15. That $5 popcorn can go to $10. And I think people get lost in the fact that, yes, it's about wins and losses, but there's a business to run that teams are going to run. And Kyler Murray gives you that electric personality that allows you to do that.
On the field, he has an electric personality. You're going to miss Josh Rosen in the press conference.
True.
But
true,
I think with drafts, the most important thing with drafts are what is the identity of the team and the franchise? Like, if the Cardinals did not fire Steve Wilkins?
Steve Wilkes.
If that guy was not fired and Kingsbury wasn't hired, I don't think Kyler Murray would be the first overall draft pick. I'm sure they would pick somebody else. Because Kingsbury is the guy, that's why Murray was considered the first overall draft pick. The reason why Daniel Jones is going to New York is because they and Eli Manning are tied to the hip. And Manning and Cutcliffe, they're tied to the hip, and that guy's a Duke quarterback. So, of course, they picked that guy. The reason why we got the guy who could do the splits in Miami is because we just hired a defensive caller from New England. So we're getting defense guys to build that defense up. The reason why Haskins is going to Washington is because the owner wants him to go to Washington. Like that's usually how most of these are picked. It's usually relationships and identities. And once the connections are all there, then it all makes sense.
Peep this conspiracy theory out, I got, because I'm a non-conspiracy theorist. Okay, and I say that because I think there's no doubt that Zion is going to the Knicks. But in saying that, I say this. If you're Gettleman and you're the Giants, and you said, I want Eli to play at least to 2020, bare minimum, and Eli is saying he probably has 3 or 4 more years in him. If you draft Haskins, you know there's a good chance, especially if the Giants suck, that Haskins is going to play next year. If you draft Daniel Jones, who's a 23-year-old Eli Manning, instead of the 40-year-old Eli Manning, you can let him be patient and wait. Then you could say, well, we're waiting for him, we're grooming him. Can't do that with Haskins. Can't do that for a kid that threw 50 touchdowns and 4 interceptions in the Big Ten. Can't do that with the kid that embarrassed what was supposed to be a dynamic Michigan defense that just dismantled them, that dismantled every good ranked defense he got off on. But you can say, well, we got this kid, he's still rough. Do you think Gettleman, by taking Daniel Jones, is actually saying this allows us to keep Eli for 2 or 3 more years?
Maybe, but I think the reason why everyone is so pissed off from that selection is because if that was the case, then why the hell did you pick him with the number six pick? Why no one else even mentioned this guy even getting drafted in the first round? Like, this is a team that, that traded off their best offensive player. So now Eli has little to no targets. So instead of drafting a target for him, if you're going to keep him that way, and then maybe today will be the day to get Daniel Jones, they pick him. They got no one else. I think that's why people are pissed off. You know, I don't think in this era of the NFL, you pick a starter in with the first round. Not a guy that you're just going to, like, have wait under Eli's wings for a year or two. I think that's why people are angered about that pick.
No, I hear you. I just think it's Gettleman being Gettleman and being part of old boys.
Gettleman. That guy is the biggest bum in football outside of Oakland. Like, that, like, every time he speaks, everyone cringes. It's like Billy Madison. Like, everyone in the room is just made dumber by listening to Gettleman. And I hope that guy is fired. He's awarded no points, and may God have mercy on his soul.
You know, honestly, I believe that Gettleman is just a good old boy. And I don't mean that in the way. I mean, I think he's old school football. He believes in old school football. He has his relationship with Cutcliffe. He has his relationship with Manning, with the Manning family. And that's what he believes, and that's what he's going to do. And it's not going to change. And it's almost like you have the deal with baseball right now with the kids play versus playing the right way. I think he's playing the right way instead of letting the kids play. I don't think Tom Coughlin the same way. He forgot the word voluntary meant to actually be voluntary, that you had to volunteer for something that's voluntary. I think there's these old guys that just aren't going to change, and they're not going to look at anything new, and there's nothing that they're going to do. They're going to want to not be passed by because this is the way they've always done things.
And usually that ends in failure. Like, the team hasn't been an ounce of competent since he's been hired. And eventually this is going to fall flat, and he's going to make more of an ass of himself in press conferences, and I feel for anyone that has the displeasure of covering that team.
Yeah. Well, my man, I appreciate you stopping by for a minute. Do it again next Friday.
My pleasure.
All right, buddy. Catch up
my
with
pleasure.
You. All right, my man. I'll catch up with you next Friday. One, the only Cuban Cowboy, Tony Capobianco, joining us for a little while. Like I said, I just think it's him being him. John Gruden went out and drafted a guy. Sick in the football. He went out and drafted a guy that he could have got a lot later than what he did. And I am not knocking at all. Excuse me. I am not knocking Cleveland Farrell from Clemson. He's a talent. The kid can play, but he would have been there when their pick came back around. I guarantee you, he would have been there when their pick came back around. See, the thing with this draft is it's not just about who you pick, it's where you pick them. Do you want to spend $50 for a tube of chapstick, or do you want to spend $1 for a tube of chapstick? For $1, it's a great buy. For $50, it's too much. And when you're drafted number four in a draft, you just can't be solid. You got to be that dude. And I don't know if he is that dude. But I love some of these fits with some of these guys. My heart was broken at the end of the draft, and my heart was elated at the end of the draft, all at the same time. I had the privilege of covering ASU. Well, you know, I've covered ASU. And N'Keal Harry, and you're not going to meet a better young man than N'Keal Harry. You're just not going to meet a better young man than N'Keal Harry. And I'm so happy for him being drafted in the first round.
I'm so happy that he gets to go to New England. His personality seems like it'll fit perfect because all the kid wants to do is work and be the best. Not flashy, not flamboyant, not diva receiver looking for the mic. And you have a surefire Hall of Famer that's going to be throwing you the ball to learn from. There's nothing better for N'Keal Harry than that. I'm sad for personal reasons because I would have loved for him to have stayed in the Valley and stayed here and played for the Phoenix Cardinals and infused that great talent that he has to a team that I so think they need an infusion of playmaking talent. And they had the number one pick in the second round, and he went with the last pick in the first round. So congratulations to N'Keal Harry. And dang it, Patriots, you got us again. Turning to hoops, Golden State's going to eliminate the Clippers. Are they making it harder on themselves? I don't know. If they win tonight in L.A., they start the series Sunday against Houston and Oakland. It's not like they're traveling from Portland, Maine to Portland, Oregon. They're traveling from L.A. to San Fran, about a 40-minute flight. Once they dismember the Clippers tonight, they'll be back in L.A. tonight before midnight, get their proper rest, get a little shoot around in tomorrow, and then get ready. The only thing I think you got to watch out for is the more games you play, the more opportunity you have to get injured. And that's what you got to watch out for. That's what you have to watch out for. Denver, I thought for sure they were going to win last night. I was 100% dead wrong. I do definitely believe that they're going to win this weekend, though, Saturday against the Spurs. The Spurs is that old man at Lifetime Fitness that doesn't run fast, doesn't jump high, and that's the guy you want to guard until you're actually guarding him, and then he's wearing your ass out. That's who they are. That's who they are. And so it's good for Denver to get a taste of what it's like to play old man Lifetime Fitness basketball tonight in the first round. It is absolutely good for them to play old man now because it's going to teach them how to be better. By winning down there in game four, they've proven they could win on the road. Now they have to come in, and there's nothing in the world. There's no two words put together better than Game 7. And if they lose to Old Man River, I can tell you right now, Portland is smiling. Could you imagine the draw that Portland has, though, to get to the Western Conference Finals? Either they get San Antonio, who's Old Man Lifetime Fitness, which would be kind of fun to watch LaMarcus Aldridge go up against his old team, Or you get the young up-and-coming Denver Nuggets. Now, I think they would rather get San Antonio just because they would have home court advantage. But we shall see. We shall see. Second round of the draft is tonight. We'll have tweets going back and forth, be at the Diamondbacks game tonight covering the D-backs, and they are on fire. An 8-2 road trip. Diamondbacks look great. Pitching, hitting, everything. They look really good. They get 3 against the Cubs, 2 against the Yankees. They come out of this 4-1. Folks, look out. Start watching them. Definitely start watching him. On Monday, we will have complete coverage of the draft, the wrap-up. I don't do grades because you can't grade out a draft until they actually play on the football field. But who we think did well in draft, who we think didn't do well in draft, Gettleman. We'll have some first-round playoff games to talk about. We'll we'll have a Game 7 to talk about and just some other sideline news. Diana Taurasi hurt her back. Penny Taylor will be an assistant coach. And Dabo Swinney got paid. Thank you for calling in, Tony Kopp of the Encore, the Cuban Cowboy. Five Reasons Sports called in on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Make sure you check us out. If you missed this show or missed any shows, you also can get us not just here, but on the Casual Sports Network. This show will re-air promptly at 3 o'clock. So if you missed any of it, part of it, or you just want to listen again, which I strongly suggest, you can get there as well. And check out Casual Sports Network. A lot of stuff going over there you got to listen to. Make sure you follow us on all social media. Facebook, Twitter, Facebook fan page at Sports Cave. Cave is always with a K. TheSportsCave.com. Again, Cave is always with a K. And you can get me on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Everyone, enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you Monday. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. Everyone, have a great day. Enjoy the weekend.